Would you pause with me in prayer? Oh, Lord, we do want to lift you higher. We want to hear what you want to say to us this morning from your holy word. Speak to each one of us. Encourage, uplift, strengthen, bless, convict if necessary. But speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. Amen. Well, if you've been here for the past few weeks, you know that I've been doing a little mini series of sermons that I've entitled Knowing the God Who Is. It's really been a five-part series, today being number five. And what I've attempted to do in this little series was to just put a light on the God of the Old Testament, the God and Father of us all, and to point out some wonderful ways in which our God interacts with us in very real ways. And you will recall that we talked about how God is the God who calls us to himself. And then once we come to him, he sends us out to serve him. We also looked at the fact that sometimes it seems like God hides. He doesn't really, but the human experience really feels like he's nowhere to be found because our difficulties are so great and our struggles are so deep. Where is God? Well, he's there, and sometimes he withdraws his presence consciously. He's there, but we consciously can't feel him, and the reason is he's trying to teach us we live by faith, not by our feelings. We also noticed that God has made himself known to our world in three dynamic ways: through creation, through Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Scriptures. So that you and I and all the world is without excuse. There is a God. And there's evidences of that God all around us. And then last week, we noticed that God will test our faith. He will put us in a situation where we need to really declare that we love him above all other things. And that can be painful. It can be difficult. But he sees us through. Now today, I want to talk to you about the God who forgets. I need to be very careful. I need to be very careful and give a word of explanation, don't I? Because you see, God is the great omniscient, all-knowing one. He knows all things. Nothing ever escapes his memory. He does not have memory lapses like you and me. He doesn't forget events and people and things that's going on in his world. He never has to look at the angels and say, "I forgot." There's never a moment when God's memory fails. So why would I say that my sermon title is God Forgets? Well, I want to take you back to Jeremiah that Lisa read for us. And I want you to hear it again as God speaks to the people. This is God speaking to the people through the prophet. And he says this: "I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." He doesn't remember them, is what he's telling us here. Now, as I said, that takes a word of caution for us for two reasons. Number one, that verse in Jeremiah is not saying that God will ignore or overlook or sweep under the heavenly rug any of our sins. That's not what he's saying. Oh, you sinned. I'll sweep that one under the rug. No, that doesn't happen in heaven. And the second reason why we need to move with caution is because this verse from Jeremiah is also telling us that God has chosen what to do when you and I admit that we have sinned against Him. He has chosen not only to forgive us, but to remember the sins no more. Listen to the book of Proverbs as it speaks the warning about the first point I just made, that we dare not sweep our sins under the rug or try to ignore them or try to excuse them. Proverbs 28:19 says this, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them will find mercy." So we dare not excuse or ignore or overlook our sins because we won't prosper spiritually in our relationship with God, in our relationship with others. Things will begin to fall apart. But what we want to do is to confess them and renounce them. Now, to conceal means, as I said, to ignore them. To confess means that we acknowledge that it was indeed a sin, and we confess it to God and say, "I blew it, God, and I want you to forgive me." To renounce, which is another word used there, if we confess and renounce, that means we turn away from them. We say to God, "Not only am I sorry for my sins, I did blow it there, God, and I'm asking you for your forgiveness, and I renounce them. That's not the way I want to live my life. That's not the kind of actions I want to continue to flow forth from my life." That's renouncing. So I want to talk to you about the God who has chosen not to remember our sins. And I want to give you a scripture verse that I would pray and challenge you to memorize. You can memorize this one. Even if you find it difficult to memorize things, write this down on a 3x5 card, stick it in your pocket or your purse, and when you have free time, read it again, until eventually it gets into your brain and you can quote it. And the reason is you're going to need this verse almost daily. And if you have it, it's going to bring great peace and comfort to you. Ready? 1 John 1:9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. May I share it with you? "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And the very next verse says, "If we claim that we've not sinned, we make God out to be a liar and His word is not in us." So we got to admit it. Now I want you to notice something about that important verse, and I really hope you'll write that down and you'll look it up and you will work on memorizing it if you haven't already, because every day you're going to need to turn to God in some form or fashion and say, "You know what, God, I just blew it a moment ago, and I'm sorry, and I that's not the way I want to be treating people, that's not the way I want to be living, that's not the way I want to be thinking, so please, I renounce them, and I give them to you." You'll need it all the time. But please notice something about that verse. If we confess our sins, it's conditional. Forgiveness from God is not automatic. I hope you understand that. It's not any more automatic than if I offend one of you, if I do something, say something that truly hurts you and wounds you and offends you, I dare not say, "Oh, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I like her. I think she likes me. Yes, I did blow it, but she'll forgive me." And go on. I can't. When I've offended someone, I need to go to them and say, you know what, when I said that, when I did that, I'm so sorry. Now forgiveness can be given, right? Because now she can look back at me and say, yes, Bob, that did hurt. You wounded me, but I do forgive you. I walk away with a load off my back. It's not automatic. And it's the same with God. When you and I blow it, when we fail it, and we will. We do almost daily, unfortunately. But when we do, we don't just step back and say, I'm a child of God. I'm not going to worry about it. He died on the cross for me. No sweat. Because if you push your sin under the rug, you will not prosper. And you will begin to get cold in your relationship with God. And God will begin to feel a long ways off. And you know what the reason is? He hasn't moved. You have. And so you need to make that confession and get back to Him. So it's conditional. To confess is to agree with God. God says, that was wrong. And we just simply say, you're right, God. I admit it. It was. Now, you and I know, as good Presbyterian people, that we entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That moment in time, however it happened for you, and it varies with all of us here. For some of you, you grew up in the church and you embraced Jesus and the gospel as a small child, and it was almost something that you just moved into. But you know you moved into it somehow, some way. Others of us were converted in a rather dramatic kind of way. Our life was falling apart. We needed Jesus, and we came to Jesus, and He forgave us, and our life turned around. However, or lots of people in between, we all enter into our relationship with God when we confess to Him, you know what, I'm a sinner. You died for me on the cross. I believe that. I'm in. Right? But then what happens is, once that's done, and it's done once and for all, you don't get saved again and again and again. You're redeemed once. You're in the family. Now what you've got to do, what people used to say in the church where I grew up when I was just a kid, you got to keep short accounts with God. You know what that means? It means that you don't want to let your sins stack up. You want to take care of them as soon as you know you've committed them. Now, right here is a very important place for me to point out something that happened during the period of time that you and I now call Lent. When Jesus was in the upper room, you'll remember this story. Jesus wanted to wash the disciples' feet. Remember that story? And He comes to Peter and He says, Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter says, no way. And Jesus says to him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And then what does Peter say? Well, Jesus, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands and my head as well. And Jesus responds, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. And you've probably read that and thought, what in the world does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. When you and I came to Jesus Christ and embraced Him as our Lord and Savior, He bathed us in His forgiveness and grace and love and mercy. We're washed completely and thoroughly and entirely. We've had a bath. But we get our feet dirty from time to time as we travel through this world. And we need to pause and let Jesus wash the dirt off our feet. Now, when we ask God to do that, here's the good news I want you to take home. I hope this blesses you as much as it has blessed me as I prepared to talk to you about this. And it really has blessed me because I'm glad some of my sins aren't on the screen. And there are things in my life I am so glad to be reminded of that He has chosen to remember them no more, because I remember them and they really cause me some consternation and concern. So here we go. Here's what the Bible says when you and I, in fact, do run to God, run to Jesus, and make confession of our sin, washing our feet, using that metaphor on a daily basis. Isaiah 38:17 says this, the prophet said, "You have put all my sins behind your back." Isaiah 44:22 says, this is God speaking to the people, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist." Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, David says that God will blot out, wash away, cleanse him from all his sins. Psalm 103:12 that Lisa read for us, the psalmist said, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Folks, that's a critical passage. I hope you got it. I'm glad he didn't say, "As far as the north is from the south." Why? If you were to walk, if you could literally walk around the world, and you were at north, and you started walking south, you would reach a point at which you're going north again. But if you walk west and walk around the entire world, you never go east one time. That's what God says he's done to our sins. He's removed them completely and totally, and each time we run to him, even though we say, "God, it's me, it's the same old thing, forgive me, I know it's more times than I should be doing this thing," he forgives, and he puts as far away as the east is from the west. Micah chapter 7, verse 19 says this, "You will again have compassion on us, O God. You will tread our sins underfoot, and you will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." And someone said when they read that passage, he will hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea, and he will put up a no fishing sign. That's our God. That's what he does for you. I hope you feel that. I hope you sense that. I hope you experience that. Not just one time when way back there, but daily when you stumble and bumble, and we all do. Then, of course, our text from Jeremiah 31:34. "I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." No, God doesn't have a faulty memory. God does not have dementia. There is no sense in which God is forgetful. But he has chosen in his divine, mysterious way to tell you and me that when we confess our sins, they're gone, never to be remembered by him again. I want to close with this story that comes out of the Philippines, of a priest who was a much loved man of God and who carried a very heavy burden of a sin that he had committed many years ago when he was a student in the seminary. He had repented again and again, but he still had no peace, no sense of God's forgiveness. In his parish, there was a woman who deeply loved God and was deeply spiritual and who claimed to have visions in which Jesus would appear to her and she would speak to Jesus and Jesus would speak to her. The priest was a little skeptical. So to test her one day, he said to her, "Madam, the next time you speak to Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed when he was in seminary." The woman said, "Okay, I'll do that." About a week later, the priest saw her and said, "Well, madam, did Christ visit you?" "Well, yes, he did." "And did you ask him what sin I committed years ago when I was in seminary? What? Yes, I did. And what did he say to you, madam? And the woman said, Christ said to me, I don't remember. Has your mind drudged up some sin from your past? Are you being tormented by it? May I ask you sincerely this morning, my dear friends, if you have confessed it to God, I'm here to announce to you, God remembers it no more. Let us pray. Amen. Oh God, we thank you. We speak about forgiveness sometimes so glibly, so clouded in mystery. And yet your word is very clear. You take it very seriously, and you cleanse, and you wash, and you put behind you, and you cast into the sea as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. Right now, this morning, Father, as we're praying, if there's someone here who's been burdened and tormented by anything in their life that's really getting them down, speak to them as only you can, Holy Spirit, and help them to find relief and release in this, your word, that has been proclaimed to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.